Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. We don't want anything but you, Lord. We don't want anything but you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Turn to three or four people. Let them know you're glad to see them at ATC this morning. God bless you. You may be seated. In case there was any confusion, that was our tithe and offering moment. So if you did not bring that, put that in the bag, you are welcome to do that at the conclusion of the service. You could just put that in the treasurer's office. Also, we want to let you know again, just a quick reminder that there will be no service this coming week, but we do encourage you. For our midweek service on Wednesday, go to the campgrounds in Shawano and be a part of that. Also, there are services tonight and every night throughout the week. Of course, David K. Bernard, our general superintendent, one of the great prolific writers of apostolic doctrine, and we just absolutely can't get any better than that. And then Scott Graham, probably my favorite camp meeting preacher of all time, is going to be preaching as well. So if you've never been to the campgrounds, we would love for you to come and experience that. Okay. Also, want to let our guests know, we're so happy you're here, and my wife and I would love to personally be with, say hello to you, and just spend a couple of moments with you. We have a gift for you. We have some cookies for you, and immediately following this service, if you go to the foyer area, you will see a sign that says administrative offices, and an usher will take you back there. We won't spend a lot of time, but we do want to say hello. So we would be honored to say hello to you. Also, we want to let you know that at the conclusion of my preaching today, we have what is called an altar call. And we would love for you to consider coming forward. It's not something that everybody does, but while some people are leaving, some people come forward. They say yes to the Lord for the very first time. Some people need healing in their bodies. Some people are needing direction or deliverance. And we have people that will pray with you. So we just want you to know that that moment is coming forward. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 is our text for this morning. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. And the scripture tells us, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Everybody say begin. Yes, the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. I simply want to entitle this message, Start. Everybody say start. Let's pray together. Jesus, we do love you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're asking God that you will speak to our hearts today. Lord, there are some things that we absolutely must start. If we are to finish this race, we must begin some things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So my question to you is, what is your dream? What is your dream? Almost every person that I talk to is able to articulate their dream. Especially now as I'm preaching, I want you to think of the context of your dreams as it relates to your walk with God. I want you to think of your relationships. I want you to think about your marriage. I want you to think about your family. So as I'm preaching about your dreams today, and I'm preaching about your goals, your objectives, I don't want you to think about, some pyramid scheme about how to get rich. I want you to think about significant things. God, marriage, children. What are your dreams in that area? Dreams are valuable commodities. They have the potential to propel us forward. Our dreams define direction for our lives. They serve as a roadmap. They help us understand what really needs to be prioritized and what needs to be pushed to the side. But there is a point in life where dreams stop being a hope on the horizon and they become a past regret. There is a shelf life on dreams. There is a point where we've waited too long for certain dreams. that point when our kids leave the house and we realize that we didn't act, we didn't speak up, we didn't nurture that relationship like we should have, and we missed the moment. There's the point where the divorce papers are served and all of those great intentions for your marriage evaporate. There's that point when you realize you missed the season to get started with serving others, and now you don't have the time to mature your ministry to the place to where it could have been or should have been. Maybe you imagined being an overcomer. Maybe you dreamed about living that genuine article faith in your life, but you never got around to it, and something was always in the way of your prayer life and always in the way of your word time. And so now you here you are, and you're at the twilight season of your life, and you're looking back, and there's just a pang of regret of all of the missed moments in your life. I want to speak to you before you get to that critical point. I don't want you to get to that place. There is a Genesis moment to every dream. Did you hear what I just said? I said there is a Genesis moment to every dream. It's called the start. The start is where that dream, that goal, begins to be transplanted from the mind into reality. I believe that we underestimate the power of starting. Note takers, would you write this down? You cannot finish what you do not start. You cannot finish what you do not start. Recently, I preached about King Agrippa and the almost you've persuaded me statement that he made to the Apostle Paul. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. But Agrippa, you can't finish what you don't start. Agrippa never finished the race because he never started the race. How do I finish a goal? How do I accomplish a dream? By starting. We must start. There is a place. There is a Genesis. We must act. We must begin. The secret of getting anything done in your family. The secret of having a better marriage. The secret of getting closer to God is to simply start some things. Too often we wait for the right time. We come up with all kinds of reasons not to start. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My garage is a little overdue for cleaning right now. Right now. It's just at that point. I mean, it's not a disaster. It's not a disaster, but it just needs some attention. But I need the right time. Everybody say the right time. So many times we push off the most important things. I'm not talking about our garage now. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about your faith. And too often we wait for the right time and we have all the reasons not to start. It's not a good time. When things settle down, then I'll be more intentional about my faith. Things are too busy right now. I'm going to get around to it when things are normal again. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Can I give you a little 411? Things are not going to slow down. Things are not going to settle down. You are living your life right now, and there is no dress rehearsal for your life. There is no redo for life, and we need to prioritize now, and we need to start now. The thing that's nagging in your mind, and you know, my marriage needs some attention. My children need some attention. My relationship with God needs some attention. This preacher is standing behind this pulpit today to tell you now is the time. Now is the time. There's an interesting verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3. And it says, interestingly enough, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Thank you, Lord, for the living illustration. If you're watching us live stream right now, we are hearing rain just pouring on the roof right now, and it's a very heavy rain. But he goes on to say, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall what? Lie. So the wise Solomon speaks a truth that is an obvious truth. The tree lies where the tree falls. And you might think, hey, Solomon, did you go to college for that? I mean, that's a genius statement right there. And yet, it is so true, and it is a profound statement. The tree cannot change its direction once it has fallen. And Solomon said, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. Someone might harvest that tree, and somebody might move the tree, but the tree cannot change its resting place in and of itself. And Solomon's observation is profound because this is true for all of us today. Our lives are planted in the womb of a mother, and then we are born, and we live, and we grow, and we make decisions, and our decisions shape our lives. Our decisions bear fruit, and we reap throughout the seasons of our lives. And then, as time would have it, and the providence of God would have it, the tree falls, and our life comes to an end. And at this point, Solomon's words become profound to us. He says, where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Once you have lived your life, there is no changing the record. I'm trying to talk to you midstream in your marriage. I'm trying to talk to you while you still have time with your children. I'm trying to talk to you before that great white throne judgment day and tell you the tree has not fallen yet. You can still shape the tree. You can still determine where the tree falls. Solomon talks about a tree that falls either toward the south or to the north. And in his proverb, there are two directions for this tree to fall. And he says that the land of the north country, was the land that was blessed. It was a land that was fruitful. It was a land of green vegetation, a land to be desired. That's the preferred marriage. That's the preferred relationship with God. That's that preferred ministry investment. Not where you're just kind of sitting and filling a pew and simply attending, but where you are truly investing and serving other people. There's the land to the north, the preferred future, the blessed future. And then he talked about the south. And the south was always spoken of as a hot, dry, arid place where little or no water was. A place that buzzards frequented and only a few undesirable creatures dwelt. In short, the land of the north was typical of blessing and south of the undesired destination. To the north would be heaven, to the south would be hell. And there are two sides for us to choose from. There are only really two choices for our eternal destination. There are really only two things that we can live for. We can live for Jesus Christ, we can live for heaven, or we can live for this world, and we can live for hell. There are only two walks, the flesh or the spirit. It must be preached, it must be spoken, that there are only two choices. There's a place to the south that we can fall into in Revelation chapter 20. It says that I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Where the tree falls, there it lies. If it falls to the south, that's where I'm going to be for all of eternity. I don't want to fall to the south. I want to fall to the north. Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. Everybody said, it is done. Oh, yes. Once I get to heaven, nobody can get me out of heaven. I can't be evicted from heaven. The devil can't pull me out of heaven. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be no son. He shall be my son. I'm sorry, I misread that. He shall be my son. Everybody say, to the north. That's what I want. I want that for my life. I want that for my marriage. I want that for eternity. There is no reincarnation. There is no redo. The end of this life that you're living now, it's going to be a final resting situation. I want you to consider for a moment, if today was the day for your tree to fall, would it fall to the north or would it fall to the south? Which way is your marriage leaning? Which way is your relationship with God leaving? You do know that trees generally fall in the direction that they are leaning. It's almost always true. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Which way are you leaning? This is telling us which way not to lean. On your own understanding it. Doing it your way. Doing it in your time frame. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time. You cannot use time like a credit card and just trust that you're going to have a tomorrow. Now is the time to begin. Now is the time to pursue our preferred future. Whether you'll end up in heaven, whether you'll end up in hell, whether you have the worst marriage or you have the best marriage, whether you have a life that is rewarding or you have a life of regrets, it has everything to do with your willingness to start today. The longer I live, the more I believe that the willingness to start is the littlest thing in life that can make the greatest difference. Just starting that prayer life. Just starting that word time, starting to get up just a little bit earlier, going ahead and saying, you know what, we are going to have a date day. No, we can't afford a date day, but we're going to have a date day. So if we have to share an ice cream cone at McDonald's, we're going to sit down and husband and wife, and we're going to sit there at McDonald's and we're going to ask ourselves the question, how are we doing and where are we going in our relationship? I'm going to spend time with my children. I'm going to dialogue. I'm going to have a stronger family. I'm going to say yes to ministry. I'm going to call up the front office and say, where do you need some help? Because I decided that I'm going to start serving. I'm going to start being generous with my life. I'm going to give what I have to the Lord. Amen. Everybody say start. Yes. Despite the constant warnings to go after that north scenario and what we need to be and pursue what God is calling us to be, we often fall victim to procrastination. Everybody say procrastination. And some people just fear starting in the first place. Can I challenge us today? Let's be careful about being weak-willed where it matters the most. It's so interesting how we can make big decisions. Do you know that right now there's somebody that's like, it's raining, but I'm trusting it's going to stop raining, so I'm going to go ahead and hook up my boat to the truck, and I'm going to take it to the lake. I may be struck with lightning, but you know what? I am willing to take the risk because I'm going to fish today. And people will take risks to go fishing. People will take risks to go camping. People will take all kinds of risks. They'll take risks with their finances. They'll take all kinds of risks. But when it comes to faith, when it comes to family, when it comes to children, sometimes we just put things off and we delay and we are weak-willed and we're like, well, should I or shouldn't I, or is this the time, or should I really stand up for what I believe in, or shouldn't I do that? And we sort of get stuck in our head just thinking about doing better and thinking about living stronger. We need to be careful about being weak-willed. We need to be careful about procrastinating. The devil wants you to be unable to see the long-term value of starting. He wants to blind you to that. He doesn't want you to see what could possibly be in your life. You know what he wants you to give into? The instant gratification. The instant gratification. He wants you to go ahead and binge watch instead of read your Bible. He wants you to go ahead and tell yourself that you are too tired to have that important talk with your children and that you're going to do it next week. And he wants you to keep kicking the can down the road and entice you with a feeling that one day you will. And he pacifies the pang of regret, and he pacifies that feeling of our inactivity with good intentions. I don't know if you realize this, but experts say the ability to delay gratification is a huge predictor of future success. Amen. The ability to delay gratification is a huge predictor of future success. And so oftentimes we fill our lives with a cheap gratification. The thing that's just the easy thing to do tonight, rather than commanding our strength and having that talk with God that's going to bring us back to unity with him. Having that talk with our spouse that's going to bring us back to unity with our spouse. Having that talk with our children that's going to anchor them just a little bit more to the rock Christ Jesus and his word. I want success in my life. By the way, what is success? What is success? Success really isn't winning or losing. Success is obeying. Success is obeying God. That is success. It's honoring God no matter what. It's praising God no matter the situation. It's giving God glory. It's doing your best for him with what's left of your life. That is success. I want to be successful. I want to be obedient to God. I want the north scenario for my life, and I want it for you. And some things need to start. Can I just tell you that it is possible to succeed at the wrong thing? You can succeed at the wrong thing. Okay? So if I put all the time and all the energy to become a black belt in karate, and I maintain that, and I'm like, I'm not happy with that. I'm going second degree, third degree, fourth degree, fifth degree. I want to be a fifth degree black belt. I want to be the greatest karate dude that's ever walked on planet Earth. And if I'm a black belt in karate, but I'm a white belt as a husband, I succeeded at the wrong thing. If everybody admires me for being the greatest salesman at work, if everybody admires me for being faithful and attentive and always yes and always overtime, and you can count on me, but I never have a yes for my spouse and I never have a yes for my children, there's something wrong. I've won and I succeeded at the wrong thing. I'm trying to call somebody. I'm trying to talk to you about your priorities and your dreams. I'm trying to tell you that success is obedience to God's word, and we need to start some things today, because life is short, and where the tree falls, there it lies. Isn't it strange that the guilt and frustration we feel from not starting is often worse than just going ahead and doing the work? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? You just put off that task. You put off the task and finally, like, I have to do it. And while you're doing it, you're like, this wasn't so bad. Why did I wait this long to do that? And it's actually, the delay is more painful than just going ahead and getting started. Do you realize how amazing that's going to feel when you tell your spouse, time to chat. I need to talk to you. I want to be a better spouse. What does the target look like for you? You've changed, I've changed. Maybe I'm meeting needs that you used to have. How can I be more current with you? How can I be more current with you, God? Having a conversation with the Lord. Lord, what do you need me to do? Lord, it's time for me to repent. I have been apathetic. I have been distracted. I've put my ministry on the back burner. I've not given my best to you. Lord, I've advanced my career, but I've just let my ministry and my attitude and my temperament and my spirit towards service has not been what it should be. I don't have the spirit of excellence. And Lord, I confess that as sin today. And Lord, I want to start something new in my life. Do you understand how powerful that is and what that feels like when you finally say yes to that journey, when you say yes to that thing that God is calling you to? It's that hump of just starting that is so hard to get over. Yes, being in the middle of doing the work is usually less painful than being in the middle of procrastinating. And you know, once you get started, momentum starts to happen in your walk with God. Momentum starts to happen in your ministry. Momentum begins to happen in your family. And you'll begin to see results. What is your dream for your family? What is your dream for your relationship with God? What is your dream for your ministry? What do you need to start today? Pastor Soto, how do I start? Let's talk about that. Number one, start with small things. Everybody say, start with small things. Yes, don't despise small things. In 1983, at the University of British Columbia, there was a physicist, Lorne Whitehead, and he demonstrated the true power of what is called the domino effect. The domino effect. Dominoes actually can knock down things about 1.5 times their size. Starting from a domino just 5 millimeters tall, Morris says it takes just 29 dominoes progressively, each incrementally larger, to wipe out the Empire State Building. Just with each domino progressively bigger, you could knock down the Empire State Building. So, domino number one is standard size, okay? Just 2 inches. By domino 10, you're about the height of Peyton Manning. Domino 18, you're close to the size of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but that wouldn't be fair because it's already leaning, right? By domino 23, that's taller than the Eiffel Tower. By domino 31, that's 3,000 feet above Mount Everest. So the domino effect, it is a cascade, a chain reaction, and it creates momentum, and it grows in power. It grows in energy. Do you understand there's a domino effect in what you start today? And you can start with small things, just something you can just push over with your pinky, something that doesn't even require a miracle, like simply saying, I'm sorry. Simply just repenting of your sins. Simply just putting yourself out there and saying, I confess the direction is wrong. My attitude has been wrong. The distraction has been wrong. And I'm going to start something today. As simple as a decision can set something in motion that can actually change your life. This altar call today. Instead of walking out, walking forward and saying words that mean something to God. And in your heart repenting. And in your heart changing direction. Oh, I'm telling you. Small things. Small marriage decisions. Small family moments create heritage and create legacy. Everybody say small things. It was a small thing when my mom and dad bent a knee of repentance in my aunt's house and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A small thing. At that point in time, it was just a marriage that wasn't great. And they were just existing, just barely getting by. One decision, I'm just going to surrender. And that one moment of absolute surrender has set in motion incredible things. I'm honored to be your pastor today. But it was one domino. My nephew John, he had a key role in at our junior camp this year. Just one small decision. My older sister adopted three boys. All three of those boys baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. All the grandchildren, my siblings, Roseanne, Andy, Loretta, and their children, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. My brother's going to play a key role at family camp. He's going to run the sound. That's a very important thing at camp. He set up and tore down three times already for junior camp, senior camp, and family camp. He is a game changer in our district. One small decision, a couple. They set in motion a blessing, not only for themselves, but their children and their grandchildren. Now Brooklyn is heading over to Germany. And she's going to be going to school there and also helping missionaries over there. Well, I'm just telling you, it's amazing what happens when somebody just makes a decision. And what I'm talking to you about amounts to one domino, saying I'm going to start something today. And what is the reverse of that? What is the domino effect of not doing what God is calling us to do? What will our children not know? What experiences will our kids not have? What ministries will never be realized? What churches will never be impacted if we don't act? Start with small things. Secondly, don't worry about being perfect. Don't worry about being perfect. Get over the paralyzation of perfection and just start. Just start. You may not be the best Sunday school teacher or kids live team member in the beginning, but just get started. You may not be the best usher. You may not be the best Bible study teacher, but it's time to get started. You may not have the best conversation with your spouse in the beginning because of the indifference and the apathy of the past, but let's just get it started. Don't worry about perfection. Just get it started. Do you realize you cannot steer a parked car? But once you have movement and once you have momentum, now it's easier to make corrections. And don't worry about being a spectacle. Don't worry about what people think. If God is telling you to do it, if God is telling you to be it, don't worry about what other people think. The most important thing in your life is what Jesus thinks. It is our Lord we're going to stand before and we're going to hear, well done, thou good or faithful servant. Or we're going to hear, I don't know you. Don't worry about being a spectacle. Don't worry about the gallery. Be what God is calling you to be. Somebody said amen. Amen. Oh, yes. Every decision, we're going to have to take a risk. And it's going to have a chain reaction. And it's going to take a little bit of effort, but when we make that decision, there's going to be momentum, and it is going to knock over some things that we never thought possible in our life, and it's going to remove barriers, and it's going to bring realities to our lives that we never thought possible. You are going to leave the gift of legacy if you'll start some things today. Everybody say legacy. Legacy is the influence your dream has on others after you die. After you're gone, we never think about our children when we think about why we're not starting some things we should start. We need to stop fixating on our fears and why it's not the right time, and we need to start thinking about our children, about why we need to get started with things in our life. Don't put off till tomorrow what God is calling you to do today. Delayed disobedience is not an honorable thing. You know, delayed obedience is still disobedience. I told you a story about how I was kind of playing that game with God, and the Lord corrected me. When the Lord was telling me as pastor, I want you to make this move and that move, and I was too scared to do it, so I just told him I'll pray about it, you know? I mean, I really thought that was a sanctified way to disobey God. You know, when I have enough confidence, Lord, and I was missing God moments because of my fears. I was missing miracles because of my fears. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Don't convince yourself that because you plan on doing it later, that God's okay with that. If he's telling you to do it today, then not doing it today is disobedience. I'm finishing my message, but I want to tell you a great place to start. That place is called surrender. The simple yet risky act of letting go and being radically submitted to God and his word is a wonderful place for you to start in your life. It can change the course of your life. There's life-changing, eternity-shaping power when we say to Jesus, you are God and I am not God. I'm going to trust you, and if there's something that needs to be changed in my life, Lord, my answer is yes. What you're asking me to be, what you're calling me to do, those add-ons to my relationship with you, those corrections in my marriage, those corrections in my parenting, Lord, it belongs to you. The corrections in my attitude, Lord, it belongs to you. It's yes, Lord. Do you understand that there is power in surrender? When you surrender to God, that's a beautiful start. I believe that's what my parents did. I believe that's what my parents did on that New Year's Eve. They just surrendered to God. Just such a small thing. Yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And that one act of surrender saved your marriage. And that one act of surrender saved our family. And that one act of surrender has saved countless souls. What will surrender do for you? What will it do in your life? We know there were powerful moments in Jesus' life, powerful moments, but none more powerful than when Jesus was surrendering. Do you know what he was doing in the wilderness for 40 days? He was surrendering. Prior to that 40-day experience, there were no miracles in Jesus' ministry. Not one devil had been cast out, but after the 40 days of surrender, now he had authority to cast out devils and to heal the sick. And in the garden, when Jesus was crying and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, that prayer, that incredible and timeless prayer that inspires all of us and should also be our prayer, when he said, I would that this cup, this bitter cup of suffering would pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a powerful moment. And what an incredible gift to all of us, because Jesus surrendered like that. What gifts will you leave your children? What gifts will you leave your world if you will start by surrendering today your fears, surrendering your apathy, surrendering your complacency, and saying yes to Jesus? Would you stand with me? In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, this is our text. It says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. It's just a small thing, just a prayer of repentance at an altar, but the Lord rejoices to see that. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, you want to talk about small beginnings and just saying, "Lord, I'm sorry." The scripture says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." You start a party in heaven when you repent. It's just a small thing. It's just a small beginning. But God delights in small things. Back to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." And here's an interesting statement, and you have to have a little context for it. It says, "To see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." See, the temple of the Lord had been destroyed, and they were getting ready to rebuild the temple. But no dirt had been moved yet, and no stones had been laid. It was so preliminary that they were just getting the plumb line for the building. That's all. That's all. But the Lord rejoiced. He's like, "There it is. There's a start. It's just a plumb line. It's just sort of getting the location where we're actually going to have this thing built. It's just getting a few decisions are being made. No dirt's been moved. No construction has begun. It's just a simple act, but the Lord rejoices in that." You need to understand how incredible it is when God sees the start. When God sees that move, no matter how humble, but that sincere prayer of repentance, it changes everything. And my call to each and every one of us today is to think about your God dreams, your ministry dreams, your marriage dreams, your family dreams, your attitude dreams. And I want to ask you, what decisions do you need to make right now? What do you need to start so you can set in motion a legacy for this world? This altar area is open for anyone who would like to start something. The Bible tells us that we must repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, that we must receive the Holy Spirit. Have you said yes to God? Have you repented of your sins? That's a beautiful place to start. Have you been baptized? That's a beautiful inauguration. Have you received the Holy Spirit? It's available for you today. God is here. God is here in a beautiful way. And when you say yes to your journey, God is saying yes with you. He has power and grace to sustain you and to carry you forward. In the name of Jesus, could we lift our hands in this sanctuary today? And could we start something? Could we start something? And could we let the Lord work and do what only He can do in our life?